Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Yes, we're back with more Travelling Tunes for 2026. Mordena Kirsten.
And we're at a new time.
We are, new time, 7:40.
Yes.
Bright and early for the music lovers out there. It's Friday the 13th. How are you feeling about that, Kirsten?
I love it.
You love it.
Okay. I don't know why I didn't click the wow, it's a Friday the 13th. Awesome.
It is.
But I hope everybody has good luck today.
Yeah, yeah, totally. We're kicking off Travelling Tunes again for 2026, and you've come in with a bang. Tell us about why you've chosen the Woman of Funk to kick us off.
Yeah, so, you know, I saw this in some sort of reading thing I was doing, and the Women of Funk, I'm like, oh, that sounds amazing. Now, I'm going to say I'm always get a little suspicious when you have to isolate the women of a genre, right? You know, the women of hip-hop or the women of rock. You're like, that means, you know, maybe, you know, obviously it's still a man-dominated space. Now, but saying that, funk, you know, some of these women are outstanding and their voices are on the genre. Obviously, it's really important backing singers. So, you know, one of the most important funk artists of all time, the sort of originator of the genre, James Brown, he had really great women, and a lot of people know the names and these women that worked with him and sang really important parts on the music. And then even when funk evolved to sort of Afro funk with Parliament Funkadelic, again, there were so many women on the project. There's a group of them called the Brides of Funkenstein. women in the band, women bass playing. So you know, I don't want to say funk is you know, completely misogynist space, but it is a nice highlight to put a little special lens on it, and let's look at these really great women. And there's so many. Obviously, we're only going to play three today.
I know, it was hard picking this week. So who do you want to play first?
Okay, I'll guess we'll start with Bette Davis. I mean, what a story! She was, again, I don't want to say just because of who she's with, but she was married to Miles Davis. She also was in a relationship with Hugh Masekela, another great artist at different times. She was just a part of the scene. And supposedly she introduced Miles Davis to sort of funk and the futurism and the dressing like you're from outer space. And she just was a really sort of super sexual, super out loud, proud woman. And that sort of, you know, really had a huge influence then on a lot of man artists. So, yeah, let's have a listen to Bette Davis, They Say I'm Different.
Icon.
She spit it, snuff and boogie, tray on my drain. Spit on! They say I'm different cause I eat chitlins. I can't help it, I was born and raised on them. That's right, every morning have to slop the hogs and maybe getting off humping the Jolly Hooker. Moonshine, the Baby King and Jimmy Ray, rock on that. And that's why they say I'm different. And that's why they say I'm strange. I'm talking about Big Mama Funk.
Talk about it, talk about
I'm
it.
Talking about Lightning Hopkins.
Talk about it, talk about
I'm
it.
Talking about
It's certainly stank face inducing, eh?
You're right.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that because, yeah, funk, actually means bad smelling.
Yeah.
Funky. Like, ooh, that smells funky. And this is where the word came from. And yeah, and that's why you get that stank face. I was just listening to that. And so because she does a lot of this sort of Afrofuturistic space thing, but also the music also sounds like it could be from 1910. You know, that sort of twangy guitar and talking about moonshine. She's got this, it's like,
it's very bluesy.
Black history in her work. Also, she was in a relationship with Eric Clapton, because I was just thinking about how outstanding the guitar was. And Robert Palmer, who's a British musician as well. So she just, I mean, everyone's in love with her. You know, she's just so...
I mean, can you help it? Like, I'm a bit in love with her.
That's right. She was just so creative and... loud and proud and so interesting.
Yeah. I mean, she was also clearly very charismatic in the way she carried herself.
Yeah. So one thing said she was about artistic and sexual liberation.
Yeah, awesome.
Incredible.
And you can hear that sort of freedom, you know, and just everything she does, she's just 100% in there.
Yeah.
I feel like Bette Davis really... I don't know, set the tone for a lot of artists to come, eh? Like, I think of Grace Jones, and I feel like you could pull
a
lot of similarities there.
Yeah, I can hear that lineage there, definitely. And you know, thinking about funk was actually a really short-lived genre in the 70s. It was sort of like this sort of nexus point between soul, which was very revolutionary in its time, but now we listen to it, it sounds very sweet, very twee, you know, the sort of pop songs, and it was so important with putting Black music, you know, into this sort of popified radio. And jazz was starting to do wild things, but again, it was not in a pop sort of mainstream space. R&B, again, very sort of thoughtful and pontificating and stuff. So funk then, you know, in the 70s, this nexus of giant bands on stage, and it was about dance. It was all just about dancing and body and rhythm. That's what it was about. And then that leads us later to Afrofuturism and hip hop, you know? So it was just this sort of point right in the middle of time that sort of bridged, you know, Black music, I guess, is what we're talking about.
It's a fascinating genre. Which one of these lovely ladies do we want to play next?
Let's do Spanky Wilson and the Quantic Soul Orchestra.
I love the Quantic Soul Orchestra.
We got Don't Joke with a Hungry Man. Let's have a listen.
We'll be right back.
We were just talking off air about how interesting that whole era of Afrofuturism is, and how I feel like often, even nowadays, when we talk about Afrofuturism or like other futurist sort of creative movements, like even Māori futurism and stuff sort of more close to home, I feel like funk is still quite a big part of it. Like, it's those two things feel quite connected a lot of the time.
True, that's a really good linkage. And this is a more recent track. It's just sort of the one quote I've got about the Quantic Soul Orchestra, British DJ, and reviving dusty funk and jazz. So here's the other, you know, across an ocean of people going, this is amazing, America. Why have you like left it, you know, on the shelf, and finding it and bringing it out and bringing out like an older star from the 70s and saying, oh my God, you're alive? Come, let's do some exciting stuff together. So she's, she had been performing since 1967. She's performed with Marvin Gaye, Sammy Davis Jr. She's from Philly, born in 1947. And yeah, to sort of, you know, other, you know, funkophiles discovering her and bringing her out and saying, look, let's just make some music, and keeping the funk going.
Yeah, the Quantic Soul Orchestra are awesome. They've worked with heaps of really cool people, so it's cool to see that they've done one with Spanky. So awesome. The last track we've got
I'm so excited.
Such a classic.
I love this song.
We were really looking for an excuse to play this, I reckon, at some
point. Oh, good. Oh, I'm glad. Because in some ways I'm like, oh, this is sort of poppy. But, you know, then when I read about it, so this is Rolls Royce Car Wash, and it's from the film. It was written for this 1976 movie, which was one of the first black movies to have, you know, really mainstream appeal and be out there. Richard Pryor was in it. The Pointer Sisters were in it. And so this was a band. The actual woman singer is named Gwen Dickey. The band is Rolls Royce, but she'll go by Rose and stuff as well. And they were from Los Angeles, California, and it's just such an iconic song. And the whole film was just about a day at this car wash.
Yeah, yeah.
So good.
Such a classic. And then reused in, I'm sure everyone knows about, Shark Tale.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I think that's where we were probably first introduced to it.
Probably.
Being children of the noughties. But it's just like, this is such an addictive track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That.
Oh,
like,
you can hear that funky bass.
Oh my God.
You can feel that groove people talk about. It's hard to explain it musically, but yeah, the bass, the groove,
the like syncopated guitar, like it's almost like a skank.
Oh yeah.
It's not really.
Oh yeah.
So good. Okay, we're gonna listen to Car Wash and leave you to it, Kirsten. But thank you so much.
All right.
We'll Goodbye. Catch up with you next Friday.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Thanks. Thanks.
Bye.
Millie would like to share her impression of the shrimp from Shark Tale with you all.
I forget what he says. He's like, he's going on about his sister.
Is this when he's about to get eaten by the at the restaurant?
Yeah, he's like pleading with the shark, and he's like, well, my sister had this baby and it had arms and legs. True story.
True story.
And it's one of my finest impressions, I think.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing.
I have to look up. If you are looking for a laugh, it's quite a funny speech. Look up the speech.
Wonderful.
Oh, so good.
Bless him. Thank you, Kirsten, for joining us for Travelling Tunes. We're going to head into some ads and then we'll be back after the news. You're on BFM.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.